Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Maples. As always, here are my bro, Kings. Kings, what's going on, my guy?
Shoot, chilling, man. You just got done watching these games. We got the last series of the year. Been a hell of a year, man.
Hell of a year, I got to tell you. I have no notes. I have no plan. The Boston Celtics were in the finals.
That's
all you.
I'm on the timeline. Everybody's on my tweets, on my request. I am hell right now. Very miserable time.
I lost my will to plan for the show. I can't believe 12 years later, they're in the finals. Since that 08 debacle, I mean, 2010 Lakers got it back, but that 08 debacle hurt. I got to tell you, I did not wear green for a year after that happened. You understand, like, there are low points as a sports fan for me. Like, it's the 08 finals. The Dez caught it being overturned. I know for you it's that tuck rule, but it's just when the Celtics make the finals, man, it's not good. It's not good. All emotional fan stuff inside, I think we are in store for a great series. What about you now? Do you think it's at least going? Do you think it's going to be very competitive? What do you think?
I think it's going to be a fun, from an on-court perspective, it's going to be a fun series. I think in terms of, it's going to be great adjustments, going to be great defense play, going to be great, I think, individual performances. But like you said, just miserable. I mean, both my ops are in the finals. I in general, don't have anything against the Warriors in terms of before. Clutch, you know, I gave the Warrior fans some swag, but I always enjoyed the home team, you know, getting some success for the fans because the fans were loyal. But that clutch war, man.
I know, you already know. He goes back. You know what? It's weird on my end because you look back, it's weird. With all the Warrior stuff is more recent, but the Warriors and Lakers have not been good at the same time since the early 90s. It's like insane how that's worked out. They have not been good since the early 90s at the same time.
Even with Bron getting here,
it's been up and down. Like the injuries, Clay, the Steph breaks his wrist. Then the next year, mm-hmm. they're somewhat back. LeBron gets hurt. Now this year is like it's crazy. So, like, I don't have any pent up animosity, you know, toward the world outside of the banter about, you know, players and you know, all these Warrior fans who used to be Laker fans.
That's easy for you to say. It's not easy for me.
Oh yeah, I know 100%. I'm speaking for my end, but you're right. I know your battle is different. I already know. Trust me.
Yeah, I got that. Then you have the Celtics in. Bro, I hated the Celtics my whole life since I started seriously watching hoop. You know, I was on and off with hoop before 05. You know, my life, my tragedy with sports starts off tuck rule, the Hurricane Phantom PI against Ohio State. Those two were the most painful memories of my childhood. Then obviously as a larger hoop fan, watching hoop seriously, watching the Celtics win, obviously watching Bron lose in 15 was painful. And watching the Warriors go on that run was painful. But now I'm in another deep of part of hell 2 years after watching the Niners and Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I never thought that would ever be topped. I did not think that would ever be topped. But 2 years later, God is testing me again.
Man,
it's going to be a good series, you guys. But I'll be lying to you if I said that I'm personally going to enjoy this because I'm not going to.
I feel you. So before we get deep into that, let's put a bow on Miami. Turns out everything you said ended up coming true about them offense. Just offensively, just bit them in the butt. Too many cold streaks. They made one last 11-0 run late to make it a game. Jimmy Butler went for the gusto late. I'm not mad at the shot. People are complaining about it. My thing is, I think Jimmy's the caliber of a playoff performer that you got to trust his decision-making late and kind of live with it. I think he's earned that with the way he shows up. I get the people saying not a good three-point shooter taking that, but, you know, I think you got to trust your superstar.
Look. I mean, it's easy for us to say, you know, analytics-wise, it's not the right shot, but dude, game seven, he played 47 minutes, bro. Yeah.
Like,
people have to understand they're human beings. Analytics is like, is good, but it's like they're not robots. You know what I mean? Like, they're human beings. In his mind, he's probably thinking, I gotta take it here because we're not winning if we go to OT. Like, that's probably what he's thinking. We're not winning if we go to OT, so we gotta win it now. That's probably why he took that shot.
Yeah, man. In addition to agreeing what you said, I have to just give, again, I tweet this, got to give Spoelstra credit on the pod, man. When I say he squeezes every ounce of juice out of his team every year, he is a special coach. you take a step back and look at what this team really was. You got about 20% of what you expected from Kyle Lowry due to injuries and just being overweight and out of shape. Jimmy was hurt a lot, but you depended on Hero for buckets. Bunch of first-round undrafted guys getting big minutes. And Victor Oladipo after, I think, 3 or 4 surgeries. And you have that team in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals against a team that's much more talented, in my opinion, at least. So I got to give Spo some credit. I believe he's top 2. He might be the best in the business. I just think he's a special head coach. So I just want to say that before we put a wrap in Miami. Before we move on, what do you think Miami needs to do to stay at this level and possibly get to the finals again next season?
They need to get off Tyler Hero. They need to get off Duncan Robinson. You know, I get people saying they should trade Bam, but like it's like for who though, you know? Like, that's some of the things you have to ask yourself. Who's available? You know, who can you go to say, hey, we'll give you Bam if you give us so-and-so.
Yeah.
Maybe sign and trade for LaVine, but then, like, you're back to square one because you don't have a, you know, who's the center that you're going to put there? Because Bam is important offensively and defensively to them, even though he's not. Maybe you can sell Chicago, hey, you know, sign and trade LaVine for Hero. Robinson picks.
And you got to probably come off one of those young rookies who play well, like
Struzan. And also come off, yeah, maybe you do that to them. Yeah. And they agree, you know, they agree. I think Miami is one of the destinations. When I was researching, I think one of the Chicago writers said they liked Miami's package because of Hero being included in there. And then you can obviously add Duncan Robinson for salary filler and give them more. Maybe they make, you know, Robinson is more useful for their offense. You know what I'm saying? And obviously you can add picks and all the other young pieces as well. But I think if you're Miami, keep Bam and you try and go for LaVine in the offseason. And I think if they get LaVine, man, that's big.
Yeah, I don't know how. It's weird. You talk to people who actually cover the Bulls, they have like a sneaky suspicion LaVine is out of there because it's not restricted free agency anymore. I guess he's not a fan. How the season turned out and turned sour around his injury time, but they're not completely confident on him being back here. That's kind of crazy to me. But I think the most realistic thing for the Heat is they got to find a way to get Ben more aggressive offensively. Mm-hmm. Because it's not for lack of skill, in my opinion. Watching him play, he has offensive skills. He's very skilled. It's just he doesn't apply the pressure offensively like he should all the time, in my opinion.
Right.
I think he has an athleticism advantage over most centers he plays against, being that quick for his to be that big and strong. I just think he's got to use it more. And I think, you know, that'll be the next step for him.
I think he's a great third option. I don't think he's
that's
a
fair. Option. That's fair. That's
I think
fair.
If you put him in a third option, then his 18 to 20 or 16 to 18 becomes even way more impactful because it's more efficient than what it is now. And it's also less taxing. And you'll see him be more consistent scoring because he'll get better looks. And also, you might see him be more prone to getting bigger outbursts because the schemes are being more more tailored towards a Jimmy or a LaVine. So if you're able to get LaVine, I mean, LaVine's the guy they need to go for, then I think they'll have the best package because they actually have young guys they can give Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, the Clippers can't give young guys, you know what I mean?
It just sounds like in general, LaVine's probably the best quote unquote available player.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I think that's what the you know, tea leaves are reading a little bit.
But you see why you're not hearing a lot with him, because A, teams don't have cap.
Right. Nobody has cap.
Nobody has cap. And B, because nobody has cap, it's gonna cost assets potentially to get him. And being able to give up assets while still having a good team afterwards is not something everybody can do. Miami can do it. Yeah. And Miami can, like I said, give young assets that Chicago can actually use for them going forward. So I think, like, that's honestly, you know, and I saw this online. Somebody wrote this, and I actually agree. The more I think about it, that's probably the best destination for LaVine. That makes the most sense, him going to Miami. If he does go to Miami, I mean, they're right. Can't write them off. They're right back again, you know, next season. I think it's going to be interesting, though, because I think Tyler is Hero up for his extension. He's up for his extension, but he still has one more year.
It won't kick in until the next year.
Yeah, yeah. So he's in the
same situation as Jordan Poole.
Okay, so
he's but won't kick in until next.
So he'll still be a cheap. So yeah, so they can add Hero, add picks, and then get off a bad contract, like get off, you know, Duncan Robinson or Kyle Lowry, whatever bad contract they want to get off.
I said when I did it, I was like, they just got to have Lowry lose some weight. I just think they.
Yeah, I think Lowry's fine because you can actually. Yeah. I think you can actually play him. I think
He has some bright moments. He has some bright moments. Yeah. I just think he's untradeable with 2 years left on the deal at that amount of money. I mean, I'm not every contract is tradable at some point, but I think you're gonna have to add too much to get off him.
Yeah, I think you can get away with Duncan Robinson in the sense that he's still his skill set and his size and his age is still valuable to a lot of teams, even though he didn't work for Spo. You know, teams can talk themselves into making Duncan Robinson useful. Yeah. Like, you even saw it with the commentators. They're like, why is he not playing?
Hey, I keep it a buck. I would take Duncan Robinson on the Lakers, dead ass.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like
that's the type of guy LeBron absolutely maximizes.
Oh, I've seen it every time with these specialists. When they get with LeBron, they always work. They find a way to make them work.
All right. Now let's talk about the Brawl for It All NBA Finals. Boston Celtics, Golden State Warriors. Let's do this way. Let's talk about the Warriors side first, the keys to victory for them, and then we'll go to the Boston side. Then we'll give our picks. Let's do it that way. I told you guys I was so depressed about this Celtics making the final. I did not make a show plan. We are in pure freestyle mode. Rock with us. Let's do it. So just I'll let you go first. What are a couple things that are key for you for the Warriors to win this series?
Yeah, for me, it's pretty simple for me. They gotta win one-on-one because, you know, the Celtics are going to throw all types of looks at them. But they will play them straight up. They will tell Poole, they'll tell Curry that you got to beat Tatum, you got to beat Jaylen Brown, you got to beat Marcus Smart one-on-one. They're going to tell those guys you got to beat them one-on-one. And that's what it's going to come down to. Can Poole and Curry beat those dudes one-on-one? Can they make the right finishes over Robert Williams? And can they beat Horford? How can they take advantage of Horford off the switch? Horford is not no slouch on the switch.
Yeah.
So can they beat those one-on-ones? And then number two, will Draymond Green score 10?
That's my number one.
Will he score 10 or more points? Because they're going to help off him every time or as much as they can. So he's going to have to score in this series.
Right. Yeah, both those things I think are very important. The main thing is for Draymond to be. My thing is the Warriors, they've been making teams pay. When teams sag off Draymond, running Clay, Poole, or Steph off these dribble handoffs and let them get us to the, you know, get downhill full of steam because the guy's sagging off because they're not guarding Draymond. interested to see how the Celtics defend that. That should be very interesting. But yeah, I think Draymond, it's got to be like, it's got to be 10 points a game minimum, Kings. I'm with you. It's got to be 10 points a game minimum. The other thing, schematically, I'm interested in your opinion on this, is that the Warriors have been getting away with pretty much dominating the boards, playing small. The Celtics run a lot of Robert Williams and Horford minutes. And just they're not going to go super small unless the matchup dictates they have the personnel to do so. But I'm wondering about the Warriors' effectiveness against a Robert Williams and Al Horford front line rebounding the ball. They've been great all playoffs. I think Looney's averaging 15 boards a game. Exactly. And then Wiggins is up around 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. So it's like it hasn't been an issue, but I'm really interested to see the front line matchup. And then the last thing, this is kind of with both teams, that Wiggins-Tatum matchup is going to be very key. If Wiggins can make him work and keep him inefficient, you know, low 40s percentage-wise, avoid the big breakout game, I think that definitely tilts things in the Warriors' favor. So
they say GP2 coming back too, from what I was hearing.
Very huge, also for the Warriors, like as well.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're the Celtics, you gotta slow the game down, because you're playing 7-8 guys. The Warriors have a bunch of guys they can play that can actually play well, as you've seen. It's going to be tough because Robert Williams, you know, and Horford going to be battling Looney, battling Wiggins, battling Dre. But then even if things get dicey and the Warriors need a shot of physicality and speed, they can throw Kuminga in there to battle those guys as well. Yeah. He's a handle to have to deal with physically. I mean, I worry about this. I said the Celtics match up well because they can play one-on-one. They have the speed and the length to switch to come off rotations. But after two back-to-back Game 7 series against physical teams, I worry about their stamina.
Also some fatigue.
And I worry about their attrition. I just don't know if they have enough in them. Honestly, I had this a 7-game series, but after what Miami just forced, I have a hard time seeing them get over 6 games.
That's that's spicy. I think for the Celtics, the main thing for me is two things I'm really looking at from the Celtics perspective. One is the turnovers. Mm-hmm. If you turn the ball over against the Warriors, that's killing you, because that's Klay and Steph in transition, spotting up for three. Guys getting dunks off the attention they get from the three-point line, and you just fighting uphill, you know, from the jump. The other thing is, I really just all playoffs, their defense has more than covered for this. Obviously, they made it to the finals. But the Celtics offense late games is just – I think the Warriors do a lot better job of generating the look that they want late basketball games. And I think that's probably why my pick is going to lean for Golden State. I think late basketball games, their offense is a little bit more reliable. Both of these defenses are top tier, but I think the Warriors' offense is a little more, you know, reliable, you know, late games. A lot of the Celtics depends on, you know, JB and Tatum being great. And those guys are certainly capable of doing so, but I just think it depends on them being just phenomenal shot makers under duress. And I think they lean on that a little bit too much this series, and it might, you know, come and bite them in the behind. But it's just really a whole bunch of intriguing matchups, man. You got two great coaches, Kerr's experience. IMA obviously knows what he's doing, playing for being under Pop all those years. Putting together the number one defensive scheme in basketball, or the tie with the Warriors, at least two best defensive teams in basketball. Man, this is going to be a war. I don't know. I said 100. That may have been, you know, I know this era is tough to defend in. I just don't see too many of these games be going past 105. I said 100, but I'll push it. I don't think too many of these games go past 105 unless one of the star players gets hot. It's the defenses that are that good to me.
I can see Warriors having a few 110 games just because they shoot so well between Curry, Klay, Otto, Spool. It's just
there'll be multiple games where those guys get hot. They'll be able to drop 110. But, yeah, I don't see any, like, 120-type games. Yeah. You know, I don't see any, like, consistent 110s. I think this will be a battle, you know, low 100s, high 90s type games for most of the series. Very competitive. But, again, I think to me it's just because the Celtics have to play that way. How much do they have left in the tank? Like, really? that's really important because it doesn't really matter for most teams. But as somebody who had to watch 2015 and had to see what happened when you go up against a team like the Warriors who has so much depth with a 7-man rotation, it just wears on you. And mind you, LeBron came off a sweep of the Hawks when they played the Warriors. So they had some rest. Kyrie played a game, but the C's are coming off back-to-back game sevens, man.
So
Robert Williams' knee's hanging on by a thread at this point.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think the Celtics are capable of without him to get, you know, to put a good lineup on the floor. So game one is Thursday. That gives them, you know, 4 days off, approximately 4 days off to get right. I got to ask you this, though. So I think objectively, all emotions aside, we can say Boston. I think Boston had a much harder road to get to the finals. Do you think that plays a factor? I'm not going to say the Warriors' road has been easy, but I think there's a clear gap in the level of difficulty in the opponents, in my opinion. I'm still picking the Warriors at the end of the day, I believe. But do you think that, like, shock factor, like playing against a tougher team on the Warriors' side, does that have any effect on the series, or at least on the first game, maybe?
I think if Boston is to win this series, they have to win game one.
Okay.
And they have to win game one because they're going to be rested. Like you said, they're coming off playing very, very tough teams. So they're battle tested. You know what I mean? They've played physical series. They have to win game one because they have to take advantage of the fact that they're going to come off having been pushed more. You know, they're more on edge, you know, they're more fine-tuned because they've had to get everything they've got to pull out these last two series. And they're going to get rest. So they're going to be able to rest their bodies and be able to come out fresh, you know. So they got to take game one. I know Reek was saying they're going to get smoked in game one. I know he's on the timeline tweeting Celtics in six, but I heard what he said in the spaces. He said Warriors in six because he knows, and they cannot lose game one. The Celtics cannot lose game one because, like I said, there's not going to be a game where they get that much rest after having that much, you know, experience, they just have an advantage in terms of they're not going to be rusty. They're going to have – they've coming off more competitive series. They have that gameplay, you know, in-game advantage in terms of intensity right now.
Right.
If after game one, they won't have that.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I said I asked you at least early, will that matter to you?
It will matter in game one. So after game one, they won't have that anymore. So I think they need to maximize that and take game one. I think once they take game one and then they feel out how Golden State comes back game two, then the series starts, right? Then it's like, okay, here we go. 1-1. We know how we're playing. We know how it is. Let's see who can win. But if they go down 2-0, no intensity advantage, Golden State is confident.
Yeah.
That's not good for them.
Yeah. All right. So to close it out, who you got right now? Team and number. Give it to me.
I got Golden State in a tough six games. That's where I'm at right now. I just think all those series took a lot out of Boston. I'm not sure how healthy they are. I do think Golden State wins. I do think Golden State wins 2-0, goes up 2-0. I think Boston exerts a lot of energy to tie it up 2-2. And I think Golden State wins the next two.
I'm going to go Warriors in seven. I just think this is going to be a real tough series, especially late in games because the defenses are so good. It's all come down to superstars being superstars late games. I think the X factor here is probably going to be Jordan Poole. I'm looking forward to him and Marcus Smart, man. That's going to be fun to watch. Poole and Smart go at each other. It's a lot of fun matchups, man. Or if Smart's guarding Curry, I just think a lot of fun matchups to look at in this series, man. Horford, Draymond, you know, Robert Williams going against Looney. You know what I mean? Tatum and Brown versus Clay. You know what I mean? It's just so many. And Iggy, if he plays, Otto Porter, just there's so many intriguing matchups. And this series is going to be so much fun. I'm going to go Warriors in 7. And, yeah, Steph's getting number 4. I'm going to say Steph gets his first finals MVP. I know I'm about to give you 10 minutes of mic time if it ends up being Wiggins, man.
That's like Tesla after the split. After the stock split on that one, man, that stock gonna be
man. So we both got it in real quick before we get out of here. A couple minutes, Lakers end up deciding on Darvin Ham. We kind of got the tea leaves there. We discussed it a little bit last week. The part I was happy about, it was reported that he has full autonomy of his staff.
Yes,
Kurt Rambis will not be attending coaching meetings like he did. Two very big pluses to me. Shows that he has a front office's trust, and they're going to let him coach. How do you feel about that setup?
Great, great, great. He's going to be able to do his thing. Guys are going to buy in. And, you know, I get why they asked how you're going to use Russell Westbrook. I think I was kind of – I was annoyed with it because, like, oh, man, is he staying? But then I realized, like, you're right. If you're trying to trade him, you don't want to give that away too early. Like, that's just not smart, right? And you also have to think of the fact that if you can't move him, you need to have a contingency plan. Okay, if you can't move him, can you use Russell Westbrook? How do you plan on using him? You know what I mean? So that's just Lakers doing due diligence, honestly. Like, it's just thoroughness, making sure, hey, can you use Russell Westbrook if we have to keep him, if we can't move him? But there are reports saying that they are hell-bent on trying to move him, and I do think they will move him. And I do think push comes to shove, especially with the Pacers package. If they need to give up any of those later picks, they know that they have the 23, 25, 26, if need be.
Swapped, right?
Yeah, they still have the swap ones, and they have the 23. So it's like they can give up just one of – they have a lot of seconds, too. The one thing I will say with the Russell trade is that they got a lot of seconds from Washington.
Yeah, from that trade.
So they could get away with just throwing one of the 27 or 29 – and a lot of those seconds, and they could pull off the, you know, the Indiana trade for Malcolm and Buddy, because Russ just becomes a contract at that point. You know, he's not really, doesn't really matter from an asset standpoint. He's just taking the money to make it work. You're trading the picks for those guys, right?
So
it's, you know, that's there for him. Obviously, the same type of package is there for him in Charlotte with Hayward, Oubre. Maybe I don't know how they feel about doing PJ. I know they want to pay him, but maybe you have to go into the two first. I don't know how they value PJ. They want to move Rozier, so maybe you can get Rozier. But I like the Wash. I like the Indiana. I like the Charlotte. I like Indiana the most because I think Brogdon and Hield really fit what AD and Bron play like. I think it might be harder to do with Rozier and Gordon Hayward because they kind of
I think you have to give up more to get those.
And then they kind of like the ball in their hands more, whereas Brogdon and Hield are both off and on ball type guys. They can do it with both styles so comfortably. I like the Indiana trade a lot for them. I'm really rooting for that one to go down. It sounds like Indiana is very interested, has been interested for a while, so. We'll see.
Yeah, man. Let us pray. I remain in the camp that, regardless of the player, a $47 million expiring contract has value for somebody.
Oh yeah,
it's too many teams trying to clear their books.
They have teams cannot sign LaVine because there's too many bad long term contracts out there.
That's kind of where I am.
If you sit for 1 year of Russell Westbrook and you knowing that you can get all of that gone by next year, you take that.
Yeah,
and you get picks off of it too. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with that. Make sure you follow @KingsBro on Twitter. Myself, JJMember55_MST. No Wednesday show this week. Finals game doesn't start till Thursday, but we will be
live after the finals if we both can make it. That's TBD. We'll let you know, but we will try to make that happen. Make sure you follow, subscribe to the pod. Keep tapping in with us. Leave feedback. We love that. You guys be safe out there. We are out of here.
Peace, y'all.